Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, Terry, I'm excited because, man, we have one of our favorite folks on the line today, and I think you should do the introduction.
One of my favorites, too. Welcome, Eric Bellows.
Thank you, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome.
So, Eric, I think the way that we should start this is for folks, and I don't know who possibly wouldn't know you, but just in case there are one or two listeners who don't, tell the folks who you are and what you do up in upstate New York.
Yeah, I'm Eric Bellows. I'm a member of Rescue Inc., and also I run Pack Ethic Rescue. Rescue Inc., we have our halfway home up here in upstate New York, 25 acres. It's an in-home setting where we bring all of the abused or neglected dogs that we find on our cases. We bring them up here, and we start their rehabilitation process, a new life, so to speak. So.
And I like how you refer to them, at least a good hunk of them. You refer to a lot of your dogs as the power breeds.
Yes. Yep. Power breeds, you know, you have your working breeds where you got your shepherds and your labs and, you know, those types of dogs. And I don't see a problem with, instead of calling these guys, you know, by their breeds and stuff like that, I would rather name them all one big thing, and that's a power breed. Takes a little bit of experience to own one, and especially to rehabilitate one when they've gone through some traumatic experiences. They're a little bit different to bring back around. A lot of it just is very simple, whereas it's consistency, but a lot of it is body language and being able to read them and kind of bring them back from the dark side, so to speak. So,
and give our listeners examples of the kinds of dogs who make up your power breeds.
Your pit bulls, your Rottweilers, bulldogs, even, you know, all your bulldogs, they're all gladiators, no matter whether it's the Frenchie all the way to your American. But mostly your boxers even fall into that category. They're really, really high energy, but at the same time, they can be really thick-headed, so to speak, cool-headed. So, therefore, you know, I label them also in the power breed section.
I like the thick-headed description. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, you know, it's actually bull-headed, but a lot of people call it thick-headed. You know, it's the same thing. But it's those ones where they need that little bit extra convincing, so to speak, to, you know, that it's okay to follow you. You know, all those dogs fall under the power breeds, and that's why I call it that. Is you really have to prove yourself as a pack leader to them for them to be, you know, to give themselves totally to you, to trust you 150%.
And you've got fabulous video out there, and we'll make sure we point our listeners on our website to some of your videos, because that speaks louder than words. Just some of the stuff that I've watched of yours, Eric, I love the one in your kitchen with the bones. And, you know, it's just like you've got a couple dozen dogs just going, okay, we're going to wait politely for our turn.
Yeah, that's right, and that's one of the things. One of the simple things with what we do up here is we try to show the dogs right away that, you know, you don't have to fight, you don't have to compete, you don't have to worry about eating or getting treats and stuff like that. So one of the things that we do though is implement weight. We want the dogs to be in a calm, submissive state of mind before we give them their anything, whether it be a treat, a bone, a toy. You name it. We want them, especially when you're running as a pack, you want them to be nice and relaxed. You want them to be able to enjoy it. If they're excited, if they think that there's competition, nobody gets to enjoy that thing. It gets ripped up, you know, the food or whatever it is, it gets gobbled up real fast, and not a single dog got to enjoy that. So when you make them wait, you actually are enabling them to be able to process the food better, digest it better, and enjoy it. So mentally and physically.
In my world, you know, what I see with dogs all the time, it's the same thing you're talking about, is they don't come to us usually with self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And you're teaching that.
Yes.
And you're teaching
it
in a really great way. So, anyway, we're going to get off that and go on to this fabulous Rottweiler. Right, Terry?
Well, we could do a whole episode just on that, which
yeah.
we should.
Yeah.
But I'd like to talk about Thunder, because Thunder's got quite the story.
Yes, Thunder has a remarkable story. We got a call we were actually at a an event, and about three of us, it was Joe, Mary, and I, all got calls from the police department, and they had responded to a home invasion where there were shots fired. The scene that they came upon was just unreal. There's two Rottweilers and a human that were shot. The female Rottweiler and the human, which ended up being the owner of the two Rottweilers, they were both shot to death. Thunder survived. Thunder was shot four times. The police, they wanted to do right by this dog. So they brought him to the vet, and they wanted to reach out to somebody that they felt could to do right by him right away, which was us. So we responded. We said, yeah, you know, I mean, this was kind of hit us, all of us home, you know, it's kind of close to the heart, especially Joe. That's why we named him Joe Thunder, because Joe Pans, he got shot multiple times. And the only friend he had left after that was his Rottweiler. So this was pretty interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, so we went, we responded to the call. The next morning we went down to see Joe Thunder, and he was just, he was remarkable. He was definitely in shock, you know, so we had to do some surgery. He ended up, we had to take his, one of his front legs. He got shot twice in the front leg. One of the bullets shattered his upper part of his leg and then into his shoulder. So we really, you know, there was nothing left to be able to salvage. So we ended up taking it. It doesn't affect him at all. He gets around fine. It took him a little while to learn how to walk again. He's an older boy, 5 years old, so.
Okay, so he's a mature boy.
Yep.
And so, you know, he's now a tripod. And
yep.
How long have you had him with you?
We've had him with us for 4 or 5 months now. And he's remarkable all the way around. With what he went through, it was funny when we went to the vet. After his surgery, I guess he started getting a little bit more, you know, not aggressive, but vocal, and he started showing some signs of being uncomfortable after they took his front leg. So when we went back to get him to pick him up, it was funny because the vet's like, I don't think you guys are going to be able to do this, you know. And I said, don't worry about it, you know, put him in a room, no muzzle, and let's go see him. So we went down there, and you know, he grumbled, but you could definitely tell from the sound of it that it was a dog who was confused. It was a dog that had his whole world turned upside down. So we took it nice and slow. I approached him. I gave him my side, and I kneeled down next to him. He was sniffing me for a little bit. Within 5 minutes, he was licking my arm, and he was literally, you know, laying in my lap.
That's so awesome.
God, I love it.
Yeah, you know, so that was the beginning. And once he did that, then I felt really confident, you know. We brought him back here to the halfway home, and it was funny because when we had him here, when he's seen the interactions, me interacting with the other dogs and everything, and this is part of the reason why we have this controlled environment. We brought him back and we had him in his own pen, which was a pretty big, you know, good-sized pen. It's half a room. He was just able to see us interact with everybody, and he wanted to play. He wanted to be involved in everything. So we actually had a hard time keeping him quiet so he could heal, you know. But that was the toughest thing we've gone through with him. So.
Wow, I mean, that's amazing. That poor dog, I can understand the confusion, absolutely. I mean, just complete hell it's gone through.
Oh, yes.
But
I mean,
you start to respond so quickly, just from you sitting there and your energy, you know, just minutes to start to relax.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of people fail to listen to dogs speak to us in so many different ways, you know, and a lot of the times in trauma cases like this, when the dog went through not only physical trauma but also mental trauma, you really got to be able to listen to that dog and understand what the different the vocalizations are coming from. You know, where is it coming from as far as his state of mind? And it luckily we were able to be involved with him right from the start, so that we could show him that the insecurity that he was feeling from losing not only his sister but his owner, and you know, he lost his pack and he lost a part of his body. So he was very, very insecure. And I think that if he had gone or was dealt with any different way, then, you know, I doubt he'd be who he is today. I mean, he's wonderful. We bring him everywhere we bring him. People fall in love with him. He's already in a down and stay. You can leave him there. I mean, you name it, this dog will do it. So just a wonderful, wonderful boy.
That is so cool.
It is. And I just... You know, you handled it so beautifully, Eric. We've talked about this stuff so much, and you're right. If you can, thank goodness they called you guys. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Because more than likely anyone else would not have handled that dog properly. And that's all he needed was to rebuild that self-confidence and trust.
Yep.
And you did that immediately. And, man, bless your heart for it, Eric. I'm so thrilled for Joe Thunder.
Yeah, no, thank you. And the funniest thing was after he was able to you know, be steady on his three legs, I brought him out through my pack. And, you know, you guys know my pack, everything from Jack Russell to, you know, another Rottweiler. He was awesome. He went through the pack. You know, when he was able to walk out finally and go outside by himself, I allowed him to come through by himself. And he came through the pack, you know, all 20 of them, no ifs, ands, or buts. He would walk through them, you know, come inside, come outside. He loved Monster. He really, you know, him and Monster kicked it off pretty well, you know. So that's part of the, you know, pack healing.
Yeah, that's very cool. I mean, that's such a good ending for such a terrible thing. I mean,
oh, my gosh, yeah. And so now he's ready for his forever home.
Yes, he is. He's ready for adoption. Him along with plenty of others. For our adoption process is pretty simple. The website's rescueinc.com. Inc is spelled I-N-K. You go to adoptable dogs, and there's an application there. You can, you know, just click on it, fill it out, and the dog that you're interested in. And one of the cool things is that a lot of times, depending on where you are, depends on what we can do. But we have ways to deliver the dogs all over the place, Pilot for Paws, and you name it. So don't hesitate just because you're in a different state. So.
Oh, man, that's fabulous.
That's very cool. So, I also know that you've got another special dog there named Elvis. It has quite a good story, too.
Yeah, little puppy. This little guy is a Great Dane mix, about 5 months old. This was another story about, you know, I love these cases because a lot of times all you hear about is the bad cases with the police. This is another beautiful case where the police went to serve a warrant. Luckily, the police officer, she heard something, and she went with her gut instinct, and she follows her heart, basically, and she found Elvis here tied to a pole. He was so flea-ridden that he had flea dermatitis. He had lost a lot of his fur, just being eaten alive by the fleas, skin and bones. So she took him in, and she knew that if she had sent him to a shelter that she, you know, he probably wouldn't make it out. So she drove him up here four hours.
Oh, we love her.
Yeah, drove him up here to halfway home. You know, she called me up and I said, yeah, sure. You know, we'll definitely take a puppy. You know, he can go right in the pack, no problem. She got him vetted. The police department paid for the vetting. Like I said, drove him the 4 hours up here, and that's it. You know, he's been with the pack now. His fur is growing back. His, you know, gaining weight, and that's Elvis. 5 months old, ready for a home. Social. We got videos where he's out playing with the pack and everything. So,
and they're teaching him how to be a dog.
That's right. You know, that's what it's all about.
Man, you know, that's two stories in a row with great police officers. And like you said, that isn't always the case, Eric, but those are great stories, and bless their hearts, you know?
Yeah, actually, I've got even, you know, a better one than that. Real quick, we have local police around here, you know, they responded to a stabbing. They get there, and because of the fight going on, there was three dogs in the back, and what the neighbors think happened was because of the stabbing, the commotion, everything, the dogs began to fight. These are three pit bulls. You know, the police officer showed up, took care of the stabbing, everything, and the pit bulls are actually still fighting in the back. Now, instead of, you know, what you normally hear, you know, they'll shoot them on spot, these guys took the time to separate them, and they brought them back to the barracks, and they reached out. They called and called and called until they got a hold of us. And we went down, and these guys are sweethearts. So the next day, we went and picked them up. Brought him back. The one mama, she had a little bit of damage, so she went to the vet. But the other two, they came here. The next morning, I had a couple of them out with some of my pack, you know. So we start the rehabilitation right away. These are three dogs, though, that were neglected, you know, and just by chance, that one day, the call that brought their protectors were actually that, you know. They were officers of the law that felt the need to rectify the whole situation, which was to save those dogs also. And that's just something
huge.
That we deal with a lot. So,
wow, you know, you guys are changing. You're changing people's thought processes. You're changing law enforcement. That's just huge, Eric. So, you know, I think that's something we'll follow up with you about over time. These stories are fabulous, and people really need to know about them. And law enforcement agencies all over the country need to know about this kind of stuff, that they can make a difference.
Yeah, and there's people out there that'll help.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Just a phone call away.
That's right, you know, and that's what's starting to happen, and it's a beautiful thing because, you know, now you actually know that there's somebody out there to help that can help and that will help. So the phone call is made, whereas before, you know, nobody really knew or you know, nobody thought that it was like that, and that's what it's all about is creating this base of network, so to speak, that's there for the animals, for the children, for, you know, the battered women, you name it, and any being that is being abused or neglected or bullied, that's who we want to be there for. So,
and you know, for their part, the media generally are not my favorite folks, mainline media. But I'll tell you what, just with your show, you know, so many people are learning so much because of you guys, and so the media has helped in that regard. You know, getting the word out that y'all do exist, that. The dogs that you rescue deserve to be rescued and deserve a happy life. And so, yeah, you guys are pretty much changing this country and changing attitudes, and you can't beat that.
No, we do. You know, we try our best to, you know, do what we can. And, you know, that's what we want to – the whole message is that if people, you know, do come together, even if it's by, you know, becoming one voice – or speaking up for the voiceless, you know, that's what's making this world a better place, you know, and that's what's gonna make this world better for our children to grow up into. So,
well, I'll tell you what, Eric, it's an honor to know you, fella.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you guys are good. So, listen, what we need to make sure our listeners know, give them that web address one more time, and we'll put the link up on our site. We want to make sure they can adopt a dog if they want to.
Yeah, the website is rescueinc.com. Inc is with INK, and there's the adoptable list. You can also go to packethic.com and fill out an application there. For any of the dogs that are up for adoption, there's adoptable pages that you can scroll through, and there's also links to our video sites from the website. So,
and I highly recommend people check out the videos because they're very, very cool.
And they're so telling for people who have not a clue what we're talking about. They can see them in your videos. They can see what your pack looks like and how beautifully those dogs respond to each other and to the humans involved. It's phenomenal. Your videos are great.
Thank you. That's what we want, is we want people to see these guys in their true form, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we created this 25-acre, you know, halfway home for them is so that we can bring out the best in them and show people what they're capable of. Dogs like Thunder, you know, went through the ultimate of deception from human mankind, you know, murder, you name it, and shot himself, and he was able to let it all go and become who he is today, which is a noble, beautiful advocate of the breed, and I can't wait for him to find his forever home. So,
he is a beauty. One last thing I want to plug, too, is I know that Pack Ethic Rescue, and I assume Rescue Inc. does as well, has donation sites for people who want to help keep you guys moving, because it all takes funds to do all this work.
Yeah, Rescue Inc. is you know, we rely on donations to enable us to go after abusers, to help the dogs here at the halfway home, you name it. Rescueinc.com has a donation page. We're also working right now to come up with a sponsor program where you know, for a certain amount for a donation, you get a picture and a shirt back at you. So we're trying to come up with programs that, you know, can bring everybody together and everybody benefits from them. And most of all, it's all going to go towards the animals. So thank you for any help, and thanks for helping us help the animals.
All right, cool. Well, thanks, Eric, for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and we will be in touch again to do another interview.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Dee, very much. You guys take care.
You all take care, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.